Welcome back to the 9 till noon show. It's Michaela Clark in this morning for Greg Hughes. Just to have a look at some of your comments coming in. These guys blamed drift netting for the decline of salmon. Now it's something else, says a listener. That relates to a conversation we were having just before 10 with Noel Carr about the decline, the potential, well, the decline in salmon tourism, how the numbers of salmon are in turn declining and that's having a serious knock-on effect then. My daughter went to Dublin yesterday to try to find accommodation for her first year in Trinity College. She said she is being asked for fees for €50 plus just to view a room. I warned her not to pay it. Surely this is just scammers, or is this a thing? This is our first experience of looking for student accommodation. That is crazy. Is this just another way of people making money, or is it a scam? Has anybody else had any experience of this? Maybe we could help this listener. You can call us on 074 91 25 000, or text or WhatsApp at 086 60 25 000, just to pay €50 just to view a room. Never mind what that room is going to cost them. I noticed that a dance is being held in the parish hall in Glenfinn on Friday, August the 15th, from 9 to 11:30 p.m. Refreshments are served. Admission is €10. Glensheen Country will be playing music. And Mullinhead Community Association says only three sleeps Mullinhead car treasure hunt is taking place. Cars out 5 to 6 p.m. leaving from the Mullinhead Community Centre, and the fee there is €10 per car. What about the salmon in the River Swilly? This listener says another salmon farming is extremely polluting to the marine environment, as that man has pointed out. Oyster farming is doing the same because of its intensity. Regarding the loss of salmon, what effects are invasive species having? For example, perch and Loch Fearn, where a lot of salmon smolts are found. Why are ill people from Palestine being brought to Ireland rather than taking them to Egypt or Saudi Arabia? I suppose, you know, given the difference in healthcare systems, maybe we're far more advanced, and I don't have the details of what exact care those children are in need of. So if you missed that, you may have heard it on the News at 10 with Donal. A group of women whose children, they have come over from Palestine and they're seeking help in healthcare for their children. They have refused to come to Donegal because they don't believe that their children would receive adequate care here. They're currently being housed in Dublin and they want to be relocated within a 2-hour journey time from Dublin. Ori, the Palestinian woman who refused the free medical care in Letterkenny, it seems to me that they are being fed information and advice from staff of their own persuasion. Ori, Letterkenny Hospital. Let the Minister of Health speak up for Letterkenny Hospital now after her recent visit. If it's not good enough for foreigners, how is it good enough for the Irish? Wake up, Donegal people, even Palestine people won't come up here. We're worse than Gaza. Another says it's saying something when families from Gaza are refusing to move to Donegal because they feel they won't get the medical help they need. What does that say about our hospital? Yeah, that's what I was referencing earlier. You know, it's sad that that's the view that people have of the healthcare system here in Donegal. And I suppose, you know, you need to cover these stories and the issues do need to be highlighted, but then that's the perception that we're sending out. And it's no fault of the staff at the hospital or in the wider healthcare sector here in Donegal at all. But obviously there's so much pressure and there's a lack of resources and, you know, it's just causing a huge strain here on the system. Just to mention that Oars to Protect is back on the airwaves tomorrow evening after the 8 o'clock news. This month, Donna Marie Doherty is unravelling the complex world of fast fashion and what it truly means for our planet and our pockets. So tune in as she explores the hidden environmental and social impacts of our clothing choices and the simple actions we can all take to dress with a clearer conscience. Oars to Protect is brought to you by Highland Radio, the IBI, and funded by Commissioner Mann with a television license fee. And that's something I suppose we should all be tuning into. Fast fashion is such a thing and you just can't help it sometimes. You know, clothes are reasonable and I suppose we all sadly engage with that. So tune in tomorrow evening after the 8 o'clock news, and Donna Marie, I'll be giving us an insight into that and more.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91 26025.
It is Tuesday morning, and as usual, it's time for the Garda Community Information Slot. I'm joined this morning in studio by Garda Niall Maguire from the Fulcara Garda Station. Good morning, Niall.
Good morning, Michaela, and good morning, everyone.
Lovely morning out there.
It is indeed, Michaela. Too good to be working, unfortunately.
So
I'd say that's where Greg is today. He's on the beach.
Yeah, he's enjoying. He knew the good weather was coming, but making the most of it. So, Niall, we're going to start with a theft in Lurgy Brack. An ESB station has been targeted again.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is one of a number of, we'll call it attacks, but thefts at ESB substations in around Letterkenny and Donegal, indeed. So my colleagues in Letterkenny are investigating this particular one that occurred at Lurgy Brack. A lot of people would know it because it's quite close to the main road there. It's up opposite McDade's garage at the top of the hill. So this occurred between Wednesday the 6th of August at 6 p.m. and was discovered then the next day, the 7th of August at 4 p.m. Entry was gained to the yard and no damage was done. However, a large quantity of copper pipes and copper cable was stolen from within. So it's quite valuable, the copper at the minute, as people will know. So we're taking this very seriously. And if anyone can assist us, as I say, this is one of a number of such thefts, so I'm sure they're all connected. Please contact my colleagues in Letterkenny on 074-9167-100, or indeed any of my appeals today can information can be provided to any Garda station, or indeed the confidential line, which is 1-800-666-111.
And another theft, this time in Letterkenny on the Paddy Hart Road.
Yes, another one to, this is to do with the digger of a bucket. It's a brand new digger of a bucket, and it was taken from behind the retail park in Letterkenny. So this digger bucket is described as being black, because it was obviously painted, because it was brand new. It's 1.6 metres wide, so quite wide, and 900 millimetres deep. It was stolen, I say, from behind the retail park, and it's quite heavy, so it would have taken maybe machinery or indeed more than one person to lift this bucket onto a trailer or a van or something. So the times I have, Michaela, are between Friday at 2:30 p.m. past on Friday, and this Monday, the 11th of August. So, obviously, there's a lot of CCTV in the area, so I can't narrow it down at the minute because my colleagues are harvesting the CCTV to narrow down when exactly this was taken. But I'm sure we'll come back with a specific time and hopefully images for that. And who knows, we may put them on our Facebook page.
Yeah, and I suppose that is quite a busy time between 2:30 on Friday and then Monday morning over the weekend. So hopefully somebody will have seen something there. Moving now to the Clamanny area.
Yeah, we've had a few cars damaged this week, Michaela, unfortunately. A couple in Clamanny and a couple in Letterkenny. So I'll just give you the details of the ones in Clamanny first. This first one was, I suppose, a more serious and sinister one. This happened at Gaddy Duff, Clonmany, in the early hours of Friday the 8th of August at approximately 3:10 a.m. I'm aware the Clonmany Festival is on at the moment, so there may be a loose connection with the festival. My colleagues at Clonmany received a report in relation to four males who were observed smashing the window of a car, and then they then proceeded to crash the car into a tree and then set it alight. So when my colleagues and my colleagues from the fire service arrived at the scene, the car was on fire and nobody was there. So anybody that may be able to assist my colleagues in Buncrana and Clonmany, if they could please make any dash camera footage available or make any statements available to them on 074-9320540. The next car was damaged at Clonmany, at Clea Clonmany, between 9 p.m. and midnight on Saturday the 9th of August. A white Kia car had been parked at that location across from the graveyard, and unfortunately when the owner returned, they discovered the damage been caused to the door and wing on the driver's side. So I'm not sure if this was intentional damage or if it was some type of collision. I don't have that information at the moment, but if anybody noticed a white Kia being damaged at Clea Clonmany on Saturday the 9th of August between 9 p.m. and midnight, again, Buncrana are investigating, 074-9320540.
And unfortunately, another car damage, this time in the Letterkenny area.
Yeah, this one at Glenwood Park, Letterkenny, On Wednesday the 6th of August between 11:30 a.m. and 3:20 p.m. So smack bang in the middle of the day at Glenwood Park. So hopefully someone, I'm sure someone has seen that what has happened here, and I'd be appreciated if they could help us out with it and give us a dig out with solving this one. The windows were smashed and damage was also caused to the front passenger headlights. So again, this will be my colleagues in Letterkenny this time investigating it, and they can be reached on 074 9167 100.
And there seems to be no end to these car damage incidents. Another one then in Donegal Town, and this is such a cost to people as well, these incidents.
For sure, yeah. Tyrconnell Street, Donegal Town, between 6 p.m. and 8:15 p.m. So again, daylight on Thursday the 7th of August. During those times, damage was caused just to the wing mirror this time of a parked car at the location. Again, I don't have the details. Was this kicked off or was it just some clip by another car? But again, there's CCTV in the area and we hope to be able to solve that one and narrow it down. Ballyshannon are investigating that, and they can be reached on 071 985 8530.
And in relation to quad bike youths, a youth was this week seen or observed being driving a quad. The Milford Roads Policing Unit observed them. So there's some advice you have, Niall, in relation to this.
Yeah, this is mostly, I suppose, for parents. We've mentioned this on several occasions, and it's been on your station as well in relation to the dangers of quads, and indeed accidents have happened with quads in the past in our own county. So my colleagues in the Milford Roads Police Unit successfully seized a quad from a youth when they observed him being driven by him on a public road in around Fulcarra. So I know that's where I'm based myself, and I know there's many quads in around sort of the, at the moment we have a problem in around Garda Hawk, at Keeldrum and Ardsbeg. Mm-hmm. There's several young people driving quads there. You know, we're really approaching this for more advice to parents, because the parents no doubt know that the young people, and it's mostly young men, are disappearing for the day, and that they have a quad somewhere, and it should be no surprise to them if we come knocking on their door, hopefully with not terrible news. But you know,
but yeah, I suppose it's the danger of such vehicles. And do you find it more in rural areas? Is this the issue?
No, not really. A lot of these are young fellas that are maybe living in rural areas,
right.
But with the very nature of the quads, they're mobile. So about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we did an appeal in relation to quads in, I think it was in Muff Village. They were driving dangerously through the main street and stuff. So they tend to be driven at speed and stuff, and they're trying to evade, and then they panic then if the guards see the guards, and we're just petrified then that one of them's going to fall off and hurt themselves.
Yep.
A lot of the time they are wearing helmets, you know, and I don't think that's a safety thing, is to try and conceal their identity, you know.
Right.
But listen, we're seizing these quads on a monthly basis, so you know, don't be worried too much about it, because we will be knocking on a few doors now this week, hopefully in Fulcarra. They're not toys; they're farm machinery, and it's a lot of the times, you know, they're being out diffing and skidding on the road, and it is super dangerous. And we have had injuries. We've had broken spines before in Donegal, so I don't want to be knocking on somebody's door with bad news. I would rather just come and if the parents need a bit of advice, whatever, contact your local Garda station and we'll give you a bit of advice in relation to that.
And there was a question in last week. There's a lovely walkway in Port Hall by the old station. An Alsatian-looking dog walks there on a lead. Should the dog be muzzled, asked this listener.
Okay, so this would come under the Control of Dogs Act. There is a list of restricted breeds as such. So the key word in that is an Alsatian-looking dog. The legislation stipulates that it has to be an Alsatian dog. Obviously, there's many dogs that might look like an Alsatian, but not necessarily be. We've got different types of breeds of the Belgian Malinois, the Dutch Shepherd, King Shepherd, that kind of thing. They're not restricted, but indeed an Alsatian is on the restricted list. And when a dog's on the restricted list, it means it has to be kept on a short lead under 2 metres. It can only be under the control of someone over the age of 16. It has to be muzzled in a public place, and it also has to be wearing a collar with the name and address of their owner at all times. So there is a list of dog breeds that are restricted. I'll just read over a few of them. They're mostly pit bull terriers, bull mastiffs, Dobermen, Rottweilers, Japanese Akita dogs, and band dogs. So it's quite a big list, but it also incorporates some subspecies of dogs in relation to that as well. But if in doubt, you're welcome. Please contact the guards. And again, like any dog can bite. Like any incidents I've ever gone to where there's been a dog attack or an attack on sheep or on a person, like the owner's always surprised by it. Like any dog can bite.
Yeah.
So if you're not sure about your dog, and it reassures other people if the dog has a muzzle on it. You know, I know from like I've had dogs all my life, they don't mind having a muzzle.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely. That is Garda Niall Maguire from the Falkara Garda Station. Thanks so much, Niall, for that.
Thank you, Michaela.
It is the 9 till noon show and it's Michaela Clark in for Greg Hughes. I'm joined now in studio by Karen Gallen, Smart Recovery Facilitator. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Michaela.
So we're speaking to you ahead of a evening that is taking place tomorrow, an information evening on smart recovery and other addiction supports. And that's taking place in Jackson's Hotel in Ballybuffet from 6 until 9 p.m. So Karen, tell us a bit about this event.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me on the show today. The event's been organised by myself and my colleague Tom McGill. We both facilitate smart recovery groups in the Finn Valley area. And the event is open to everyone. There's information, it's an information event showcasing what help is out there, what supports are in the local community, for anyone that's struggling with addiction or making their journey to recovery. But it's also available for families, as addiction doesn't just affect the person concerned. So this event has been funded by the HSE Social Inclusion, Northwest Regional Drugs Task Force and Letterkenny CDP. But we're looking for any services to come along to gather the information. We'd really like to extend the invitation to groups that are already working in recovery, such as Alcoholics Anonymous, Al-Anon, Narcotics Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous. It'd be great to see them represented there, that they can bring their information along and just leave that information on a table for people to avail of.
And what kind of support are you seeing that people do need?
We are seeing that people are needing all kinds of support. It needs to be a wraparound service for recovery. Mm-hmm. So it could be anything, literally anything. We, you know, the sort of the family resource centres, the social, like primary care social work. There could be absolutely anything that someone needs. So we sort of spend a lot of time connecting in with other services.
And I suppose it's important. So many people think, say it's an alcohol addiction, they think giving up alcohol is the main thing, but it's not. There's such a fallout from that. And,
there
you know,
is.
Maintaining that sobriety then. And you mentioned the families. It's support for everybody.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's... addiction does not just affect that one person. You know, it affects a whole family. It can affect the local community as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's this is being done at a community level.
And have you seen any trends in relation to, has there been an increase in people needing more support for drug addiction or gambling, or is it something that's, you know, when people think of addictions, they kind of generally think of alcohol or drug addictions, but, you know, this is gambling as well. Have you seen any trends in relation to that?
Yes, I mean, we're seeing an increase of service need in all areas, and there are specific sort of gambling services out there. In the Finn Valley Resource Centre, they have a gambling worker there, so you know we can link people in there.
Yeah, and I suppose you're inviting other agencies to come along, and that's important because one might appeal to someone more so than the other. You know, if they know themselves what help they need, and that's very important.
That's it. I mean, this is, there's going to be a mixture of stands there. We've got some different speakers there. We've got Chair of Smart Recovery, Darren O'Brien. He is coming down as our keynote speaker, and he's going to give an overview of Smart and how it works and how it fits in with the other services. And how we can complement each other. we've also got a speaker who not only has lived experience of addiction and recovery, but he was also inspired to become a smart recovery facilitator himself. So he's going to be speaking about his journey. And then we're at the end of the evening, we've lined up something very special from another smart recovery participant. So, and then we're going to be ending the evening with food, hot and cold food options, tea and coffee.
And I think your motto there, I'm just looking at the hoodie you're wearing, Life Beyond Addiction, and that's, you know, is, I suppose, the focus of this. In terms of the family support, what kind of things are people reaching out to you for?
They are reaching out for everything. It can be sort of, we just... someone to talk to, just someone to have a cup of coffee with and say, this is what is going on, this is what I'm going through. Because majority of people that are in addiction or a family member is in addiction, they see themselves as, as the only person.
Yeah.
They don't realise that there's so many others out there that are going through the exact same. When they come into something like Smart Recovery, that could be the first time that they realise they're not on their own, that other families are going through this, other people are going through this. And it's very eye-opening for them. I mean, SMART stands for... self-management and recovery training, and it uses self-empowering skills to build and maintain motivation to stay sober, skills to cope with urges, and sort of teaches people how to manage thoughts, feelings and behaviours that can be triggering. But ultimately it's helping the person live recovery and live a balanced life from their recovery. It's an important part of SMART that we don't use labels, because sometimes that can stifle someone's recovery journey.
It's so, like Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, everybody knows, whereas SMART Recovery, when you look at even the logo, you wouldn't necessarily know exactly what it's about. And I suppose that appeals to people as well. You know, there's still, unfortunately, such a stigma.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, that kind of helps, and it's welcoming for them as well.
Yeah, and that's something that we're going to look at addressing, the stigma. And, you know, we'd said to our SMART Recovery group, would you do some testimonials for us for this event? Just write down what SMART has done for you, how it's helped you, or what you get from it.
Yeah.
And we said to them, you can leave them anonymous. Every one of our members put their name on it.
Oh, that's...
Some put surnames as well, and we was like, wow. It just goes to show that they're... you know, they're moving away from the stigma.
Yeah.
Because they're...
And that's,
you know,
a huge step for anybody on this journey.
Yeah. Because it's a lonely place, and the stigma makes it even more lonely.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And how many members would you have, Karen?
Well, over the two, we have two groups in the Finn Valley area. We also have one in Letterkenny as well, that's facilitated by... a colleague of mine, Mary, and Gary. So in our own group, we have between 12 and 15 every Wednesday in the Finn Valley area, and we have between 7 and 8 most Tuesdays in Rafo. So,
and are you able then to, if somebody comes along to an event like this, you can help signpost them what you feel they need?
Or what they feel they need, more importantly.
Yeah.
Because this is very person-centred. So, yeah, we look, we work with the person and we go at their pace. They're in control. We're there as a scaffold.
And a lot of people say that it is, you know, the person needs to themselves be ready and feel that they're ready to, you know, approach yourselves or approach any agency at all.
That is the first thing for anybody, is to recognise themselves that they have a problem, or, you know, and reaching out for themselves is the biggest step. once they've done that. It's no good anyone trying to shoehorn them into a recovery group or into going to see a counsellor. If they're not ready to do it, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's got to come from them.
And it's the additional pressure of that, you know yourself, you're trying to work on something and it's the pressure that it kind of defeats the purpose because you're not making any progress at all.
Yeah.
We just actually got a message in. I would appreciate if you could, on my behalf and on air, thank Karen for all the hard work that she and her colleagues at the SMART Project have done in promoting and highlighting SMART recovery in the Finn Valley area and throughout Donegal. SMART recovery has grown in Donegal through Karen's passion and dedication supporting people on their recovery journey. I would also like to thank the Northwest Drug and Alcohol Task Force for their continued support for SMART recovery in the Northwest region. And if anyone is looking for more information about SMART recovery, to contact info@smartrecovery.ie or visit smartrecovery.ie as well. So that's nice message to yourself, Karen. And I suppose that's testament to, you know, this is the work you do and, you know, you're there to help people.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, I mean, I love my job.
Yeah.
I really do. It is. I mean, the reason this event come around is I did a small piece of research to find out what people knew about what services were in the area. And from that research, it was very evident that SMART wasn't being recognised.
Okay.
Which was quite surprising because, as I said, we have 3 meetings every week in Donegal. Tuesday in Rafoe, Wednesday in the Finn Valley, Thursday in Letterkenny, and that's in the CDP office on the first floor of the courtyard. All the meetings are at 2:30 till 4:30. So, you know, we've sort of got a uniform there.
Yeah. And does the HSC or any other organisation signpost?
They do.
Yeah.
So I suppose, you know, I'd really like to say a special word of thanks to Lorna Curry, Tracy Mitchell, Maeve Gallagher from the Task Force, Donna McGee from the HSE Social Inclusion, Margaret Toner from the Letterkenny CDP for their continued support of SMART Recovery through Donegal and the wider CHO1 area. The addiction services will sort of signpost people into us, which is really good because it gives people an alternative. We're not saying come to us, we're the best. What we're saying is come to us and get what you need.
Yeah.
Go to AA, get what you need. Go to Gamblers Anonymous and get what you need.
And is your service more, it's a long-term support for people?
Yeah, yeah, it's ongoing. The meetings, you know, they're every week. People can come, they dip in and out, and that's fine.
Yeah.
If that's what they need. But, you know, the door's always open.
And even someone that maybe feels they haven't needed support in a long time, could they even come along and, you know, it might just help them in any small manner?
Yes, yes, definitely. You know,
or even families that have been struggling to come to terms and they're still kind of, you know, thinking about past memories of different issues that arose.
Yes, and I mean, we don't have a family support group, as in SMART Recovery Friends and Family set up in Donegal yet. But that's something that can be sort of looked at in time. But I would always, and my colleagues, we always link the families into the family support that is run by the Alcohol Forum.
Yeah.
So we're all working together.
Yeah.
As I say, a wraparound service.
Yeah, absolutely. So remind us again about tomorrow night's event, Karen. Do you need to register or anything?
No, they don't need to register. But if there's anyone that wants to come along with an information stand that we're not aware of, if they could give either myself or Tom a call, my number's 087-388-5080, and Tom is 086-816-2118. And the event is tomorrow evening, the 13th of August, 6 till 9 in Jackson's Hotel Bala Buffet. It's going to be lots of information stands, great speakers and a buffet, and is open to everyone and everyone is welcome.
Great. Karen, thank you so much for joining us this morning and highlighting that event and I suppose raising awareness as well of the work of yourself.
Yeah. So, and thank you very much for having us. We're glad to get out here today to speak to you and to your listeners. And also there's information on our Smart Recovery Facebook page, which is Smart Recovery Finn Valley Area Donegal. And I'll also leave contact details at reception for anyone that needs them. Thank you, Michaela.
Karen, thanks so much. We'll be back again after this short break.
Highland Radio weather updates with McElhinney's. Get back to school sorted with all the essentials from school jumpers to shoes. Visit our kidswear department in store or shop online at McElhinney's.com today.
Today's weather, dry and sunny for most. Some isolated showers along with scattered cloud will develop through the afternoon. Very warm with highest temperatures today of 22 to 26 degrees in a light easterly breeze. I'm absolutely delighted now to be joined in studio by Holly Gallagher, who is Rosebud for the London Rose 2025. Good morning, Holly.
Hi.
So you're all excited?
Yeah.
You're wearing your beautiful sash.
Thank you.
So tell me about this. How did this come about? Is it something you've always thought about?
Well, ever since my auntie was in Rosa Chile, I've just been inspired and I always wanted to be in it.
Yes. And what inspired you? Is it the beautiful dresses or the experience? Because I hear it's a great week.
Well, it inspired me because it's because my auntie said you get to have fun and it's a lot of fun and you can't worry about everything. It's just going to be amazing.
Yes, that's the main thing, isn't it? A bit of fun. So how did this come about then? What was the process like? Did you have to apply for it?
Yeah, we applied for it.
And how long ago was that?
About 3 months ago.
3 months, so it's been a long wait. Or did you find out before we did?
I think I found out first.
Yes. So tell me about then this week ahead. Do you know what the plans are?
Well, on Friday, I think it's not on TV. I think we're just going to like do shows and stuff.
Lovely. And we were talking there off air about the beautiful dresses. So you've been shopping, have you?
Yeah, we've been shopping in Next a lot.
Next. Very good. And you were you saying to me that one of your dresses didn't arrive?
I'm not sure.
No, but sure, you've plenty of choice, I'm sure.
I have a lot of choices.
So you will be accompanying the London Rose then?
Yeah.
So do you follow her about all week?
Well, I think, like, the Roses get, like, their own little show.
Oh, very nice. So do you have to do anything during the show?
Well, I don't really know yet.
Yeah, but it'll be amazing, I would say.
Yeah.
And do you get to go to the final ceremony then too? It's a bit late, is it?
I think we do, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, but it'll be lovely just to see all the roses. And you'll have a full schedule and be able to just see them in their beautiful dresses and, you know, all their performances and all. But you're a bit of a performer yourself, are you?
Yeah.
So what have you been doing? You've been performing for a few years.
I perform a lot now. I perform for singing and I perform for gymnastics. I perform for Pine Hill and I do matches for unions.
A bit of everything.
Yeah.
You're an all-round talent. And do you think that in years to come you would like to be a Rose yourself?
Yeah.
You'll have the experience, won't you?
Probably.
So when do you hit the road? When do you travel down?
We're travelling down on Thursday.
And then you'll be there all weekend?
We'll be there from Thursday to Tuesday, I think.
Oh, lovely. That's a nice weekend break. And is your mum and dad and family going with you?
My mum, my dad and my brother's going with me. My brother, Huey.
Right. And I hear you have a link to Ryan Tuberty as well, do you?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
So he's my auntie Claire's fiancé, I think.
You think? And is there a big wedding planned?
Yeah.
Yes, and that'll be another exciting day out, will it?
It'll be so exciting.
And you'll have another beautiful dress.
I have another beautiful dress because I'm the flower girl.
Are you? Oh, beautiful. And have you been shopping yet for the flower girl dress?
Not yet, but I think we might go next month.
Yeah, this is a very busy month for yourself, so I suppose you need a bit of a break to recover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Holly, thank you so much for calling up and good luck. You're very excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much. And we wish you all the best and we can't wait to follow your journey and see how you get on. And no doubt maybe in a few years we'll be chatting to you again as you go for the rose. Good luck, Holly. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Now we have another good news and a kind story to share. I'm joined by Fintan. Good morning, Fintan.
Good morning, Nicola. How are you?
Good. So, Fintan, tell us about a very kind lady who helped you out.
Yeah, I was working in the attic, so I had taken all my credit cards and all out of my phone because I was using it as a radio. So then I went to town to do some shopping. I didn't do the old Lidl's at the weekend. And so when I got to the counter, I opened the phone and the cards weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of panicked initially. No, I doubt to the car because you usually keep money in the car for emergencies like this.
Mm.
But when I come back in, the woman behind me had paid for me shopping.
And was it a substantial shopping, Fintan?
It was about 20 something euros.
Yeah.
You know, so it was substantial. It was very kind of her. And I was shocked, first of all, and I really appreciate it. And I just wanted to come on and say thanks very much to whoever the stranger is.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's such, negativity out there. And someone to do such a kind thing, you know, that lady probably thought it was nothing for her. But it goes a long way and it shows that, you know, there's people out there. And if you need them, you know, if you're in need or, you know, this time you just forgot your car. But, you know, there's so many people that are kind and willing to help out there as well.
Yeah. And there was a queue behind me by the time I got on. There was about 7 or 8 back. So
the pressure then.
I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. Now, I would know my credit card number from my head. And then I was going to try and ask the assistant to see if they could do something. But it was just one of them situations whereby it was really awkward. But she had it paid for it before. Like, it wasn't even a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she just
by the time you got back
me,
in.
She was dying. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just really nice. And as you say, there's that much negativity out there in the news and all. I just thought I'd phone in and say to her, whoever she is, thanks very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Such a kind gesture. Fintan, thanks so much for sharing that with us.
Ah, no problem. Thank you for
And I know, I think it was a couple of days ago, there was a family had broken down or something happened to their car, and somebody as well had a lot of goodwill and stopped and helped them. And I think they were maybe travelling to Dublin and reached their destination then. So there's such kind people out there.